the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one God of heaven and earth. Amen. Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gates. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. Now, all through the Word, as also here, there's a constant teaching that repentance is a condition for salvation and for the forgiveness of sins. True repentance, that is. One that not only establishes judgment in the gates, that is, introducing a state of order in the external or natural mind. That is, not just examines and orders our external appearance and behavior and does that as an end in itself, but rather it's an ordering or introduction of order that we do from the rejection of evil as sin against God. And that is what is meant by hating the evil. Because that is what leads to a genuine love of good, to the Lord being gracious to the remnant of Joseph, that is, to revive the remains of good within us. And so it is that we not only need to search out and acknowledge and shun that which is evil, but also to make ourselves guilty of it, whether we had committed in an act or not, and to condemn ourselves because of that. Now, these things are familiar to all new churchmen, and some might even say, well, they are not only familiar, they are a little bit too familiar. Because sometimes it seems that we are always reminded of how evil we are, even to the point where the appearance is that the life of religion chiefly is to wade wearily through all our evils and imperfections. It is something that seems very negative and very discouraging. Almost we can say a throwback to the old Christian practice of doom and gloom, sort of a more internal revival of the medieval practice of wearing a hair shirt. And we might ask, where is the uplifting power of love and joy and praise in that? It somehow appears to be quite contrary to what is taught, for example, in number 358 in the work on heaven and hell, where it says that man need not go about like a devotee with a sad and sorrowful countenance and drooping head, but may be joyful and cheerful. And as we reflect upon that teaching, we may wonder, does that mean that the clergy perhaps has misrepresented the teachings of the doctrines, that they have put undue emphasis on certain aspects of them? And yet the fact is that that is not at all true. These things about repentance and searching out evil are all taught in the heavenly doctrine with such frequency and with such emphasis that it is hardly possible for anybody to exaggerate it. And the reason for that we also taught about in the work on divine providence, where it says that every evil that is not seen nourishes itself. It is like fire in the wood covered with ashes, or like matter in a wound that is not opened. For all evil that is shut in grows and does not stop till the end is reached. As to the spirit, every man is in some society, in a heavenly society if he is in an affection of good, but in an infernal society if he is in a lust of evil. This is unknown to man as long as he lives in the world. Nevertheless, he is in respect to his spirit in some society, and without this he cannot live, and by means of it he is governed by the Lord. If he is in an infernal society, he can be led out of it by the Lord, only in accordance with the laws of his divine providence, among which is that the man must see that he is there, must wish to get out of it, and must try to do this as of himself. This is the reason why man must examine himself and recognize and acknowledge his sins and repent. But if this is to be accomplished, then there must be a determined effort to face ourselves as we really are, without any attempt to excuse or escape. Because the fact is that we are born with a proprium that is nothing but the love of self and the love of the world. And thus we can say that we are born into a delight which in all ways favor and nourish the love of self and the world. And this so completely we are taught that if the Lord did not guide us and restrain us, we would inevitably rush headlong into hell. What we must consider is that we are creatures of habit, and nothing becomes habit more quickly and greatly than that which delights us. And as it becomes habit, it becomes second nature to us, and then it quickly blends into the background of our lives. It becomes part of our normal pattern of life, and so it is no longer the object of our scrutiny or our reflection. And about that we are also taught in the Arcana Celestiae, where it says, where it speaks about such things as by frequent practice man has at least immersed into the delight of his life, so as to cause them to disappear from his sight and from his reflection. And so it is only by being frequently reminded and also reflecting regularly upon our weaknesses and evils, both in general and in particular, that we can begin to penetrate this cover of habit, to let the light of truth shine upon our thoughts and affections so that their true nature can be seen. Now, this doesn't mean that we should wallow in the confession of our own evils, that we should stagnate into a state of perpetual self-condemnation. The real end of all this is to see more and more clearly and to love more and more profoundly that which is good. But this, what we might call the positive and constructive aspect of this, is not attained without applying what seems to be the negative aspect depressing aspect of practice of searching out evils. It is, as we also taught in the work on the New Jerusalem and its heavenly doctrine, that unless man knows evils, he cannot know goods. Whereas before mentioned, our natural inclination and delight is to look to self. And so it is that unless we know otherwise, we will accept as what is good and true that which supports our own preferences, our own ideas. And so it is that we would see ourselves as being basically good. As we also taught in a work on charity, that the man who does not acknowledge and know sins thinks that he is without sin. The fact is that we must learn to see and to shun, reject and hate evil as something filthy within us, because that only can remove the obstacles, open the way so that the Lord may revive the remains within us into a love of good, to purify the externals of our lives, introducing judgment in the gates. But it's also true that this state of repentance and the rejection of evil is also something that enhances the spiritual growth within us in another way, as we are taught in the spiritual diary, where it speaks about dung, and where it is said that dung is filthy and loathsome spiritual things. Inasmuch as fertility is produced in the earth by dung, hence is the representation that in them who confess filthy sins and acknowledge that they are such dung, in them the seed grows up in such an earth. Or in other words, as we search out and reject what is evil within us, as we condemn ourselves, then these evils are pushed aside and fall down. And as they fall down, they begin to form a rich soil in which the remains, in which the seeds of good and truth, of joy and peace, can be revived by the Lord, so that within us this new spiritual growth can take place. And so it is that what seems negative, depressing, unhealthy, and morbid really is the most positive and healthiest thing of all, as we see ourselves as we really are, with all our selfish lusts and worldly passions, and acknowledge our own wretched state, then it is that we are actually built up and not torn down. It is only by asking ourselves, is the evil in me, that we can begin to see the real state of affairs within us. It is not by asking the question, am I usually kind and compassionate, but rather, have I ever been inconsiderate and cruel and even vengeful? Not by asking, am I almost always accepting of and obeying the word, even sometimes when it's difficult, but rather asking ourselves, did I ever fail, did I ever rebel? For in both cases, if the latter is true, then the former is not pure or genuine. If there's cruelty within, there can be no genuine compassion. If there's faithlessness within, then there can be no real affection of truth, no matter how it may appear. And so it is that we must focus on the evil within ourselves, to search it out, to expose it, to repent, opposing it and shunning it, in order that goodness and purity may be strengthened. But it's also true that in doing this, we need not walk around with long and mournful faces. It is possible to be repentant and yet cheerful at the same time. Not from a false confidence or conviction that all is well with us, but rather from a trust in the Lord's promise in the Word, that no matter how much wrong we may have done, if we make the effort, then the Lord indeed will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph, however small the remnant may be, and he will save us and lift us up forever. Amen. Now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion.